My dear Mr. Studies, I came to it as a scholar, as a researcher, and so my insight on the technical dimension will have to be addressed by Vika and Jack Ammerman and the African Studies Library, Rachel and Beth and my good friend over there. What I want to do is just to say why I came to Ajani and why it matters across disciplines, across the humanities and social sciences. This is the website for those who may want to visit it next time. Ajami is the use of the Arabic script to write African languages, just like the Latin script has been used to write many world languages. And the Arabic script has also been used to write Spanish in Andalusia, Portuguese and Uyghur in China, right? Pashto Urdu. In the same way, the Arabic script has also been used in Africa. Since the 11th century, the existing evidence shows. Yet, most of these people have been regarded as illiterate. So that's what brought me into Ajami business. What we have done is working with the library, the office of Jack Ammerman, Vika, and our colleagues at the African Studies Library to build this Ajami digital repository, which has now over 12,000 pages of Ajami materials collected across Africa, the largest in the United States. And to give you, we began in 2011. This is what the statistics we have today morning. About 250,000 people have visited the website across the country, across the world. What's interesting here is some come to visit just to download, like China. Others come to visit and to download. So that's, I find that very interesting. Anyway, this is just to give you a sense of what I want to talk about. Now, how do we play this? My technology, what is the play button? This one? Okay, great, thank you. So, this field of Ajami digital scholarship, some of the important things to learn here from my perspective as a scholar is to address some of the enduring issues in scholarship, especially on African studies. Lessons from travel narratives and colonial sources on Africa usually underscore the need for more studies enriched by bodies of written materials in African languages in non-Roman scripts, particularly in Islamized societies where orality and written literacy are really interlaced. When we talk about Africa, usually we used to divide it by Anglophone, Francophone, Lusophone Africa. But who are Lusophone? Who are Anglophone? The elite, no more than 20%. The majority of them are Wolofophone speakers, Swahili speakers, Hausa speakers, and they have been reading and writing using the modified Arabic script 1,000 years before colonization, and they continue to do that. Okay. And I think that's one of the most important things that these sources allow us now to correct with digital technology. Now, some of our colleagues have begun to address these issues, and they frame these kind of scholars as non-Europhone intellectuals. Intellectuals who generated knowledge in different areas, in different disciplines, but doing so not in the usual European languages. Okay. And these are some of the ones I want to talk about. So, Ajami comes from the Arabic word non-Arab. It later evolved to refer to the practice of writing other languages using modified Arabic script. And here, for those interested in the history, there's great work on the etymological changes of the word Ajami, including when it referred to Persians and other speakers who were Muslim and who used the Arabic script. So just to give you a sense of the global scope of the Arabic script and Ajami. There are about 80 languages, major languages in Africa that have a tradition of Ajami. And the tradition is not dead, it's still alive, and as you will see very soon. Now, Some of the reasons why Ajami has been neglected include African Ajami literates are generally misrepresented in official literacy statistics, because literacy is often defined as the ability to read and write in European languages. And only recently, Arabic has been included, okay, or the ability to use the Latin script. Okay. Now, this narrow understanding of literacy espoused by many African governments and international organizations have excluded the millions of people who regularly use Ajami across Africa. So what I want to show you here is actually what is Ajami and what kind of materials are actually produced in Ajami. And we will see that the rich Ajami material refute the myth of the holistic illiteracy of Africa that is perpetuated by the overemphasis on oral traditions of Africa. There is a tendency to emphasize dances and exotic aspects of African cultures rather than the intellectual traditions. Now, this is these are the contents based on the drop in the ocean of Ajami that we have here at Boston University. When we go through the content, these are the materials we have: talismanic protective devices, religious and didactic materials in poetry and prose, elegies, translations of works on Islamic metaphysics, jurisprudence, Sufism, translation of the Quran from Arabic into African languages, secular writings such as commercial and administrative record keeping, family genealogies, records of important events such as foundation of villages, etc., 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 until texts on astronomy, diplomacy, behavioral codes, and grammar. So it's comprehensive. Okay? It's the same sources of knowledge that we find in other materials. This is one element, I think, a text that I found that would be very useful for anthropologists. And the point I use this example is to show the enriching possibilities that Ajami gives across disciplines, right? Across the humanities and social sciences. For those interested in ethnicity that has been used, and I show some of my anthropologist colleagues here who tend to emphasize ethnicity as a problem, right? As a source of division, as a source of tension. Well, this text actually shows us that ethnicity is very elastic and very flexible, because it shows us the transformation of one person's family, Sheikh Ahmed Bamba, the founder of the Murids, from their Fulani roots to the first person who was uprooted and became a complete Wolof speaker. So we see that here, ethnicity is not really something always a source of problem, and it's flexible. Ajami in Pre-Colonial Diplomacy, this is a very interesting text. This text was written in the Gambia, north of Senegal, in the northern part of the Gambia inside Senegal. For those who do not know, the Gambia is a small country inside Senegal, English-speaking country. When King Louis XVIII of France came by, he was blocked by the naval forces of King Ba, who asked him, "What are you doing here?" And he told him that, "I came here for business. I'm looking for opportunities to have a trading post." And the King of Bath asked him, well, to write down his proposition. And the King of France asked his scribe to write down, which is when it's here in French. And the King Bath asked his scribe also to respond to that proposition. That's what you have there in Ajami. But when the balance of power shifted after colonization, all the descendants of King Baz are regarded as illiterate up to today. So we see another dimension of Ajami in local medicine. This is a text that's still being used. I just excerpted some, the table of content, part of the table of content. And this is what you find: healing varicella, healing any type of eye pain, healing rheumatism, healing stomachache, healing headache, healing sore throat, healing toothache, healing someone who cannot urinate, benefits of the pirate's tongue for healing children with speech disorder. Now, I haven't tried any of these, but I might, so. Ajami in advertisement, to show you that this is a living tradition. This is not something ancient that's dead. This is clearly an unpopular Murid healer seeking customers, and this is what he writes: "Serene Law is a healer and a fortune teller. Anything you want is available at this location. Your problem will be solved, God willing. Serilo is very knowledgeable. Though he is not famous, He is very good. The distance to his place is 500 meters with peace, right? Now, this is interesting. This I find interesting. The Senegalese government and the African governments continue to treat Ajami users as illiterate. But the businesses, cell phone companies understand that there is money to be made here by using Ajami. And so they are light years ahead of these governments, including the UNESCO. So here, I found this recently in the Murid community. They are selling internet products. The first word is water, in Wolof to call. The second one is message, from message, message. And the last one is internet, from the French internet. And clearly, Sonatel and this company knows that there is business to be made here. Ajami as a mass communication tool. This is for some of my colleagues who always say, you know, Ajami is always about religion. I had a counter example here. Urinating prohibited at this place. Clearly, using Ajami was deemed to be effective to convey the message that was going on there. I found this on a wall in Dakar. Now, Ajami in the arts, these are areas for those in art history. I think these are areas, really, that await studies by students at Boston University or elsewhere. We have, as I said, over 13,000 pages of Ajami materials that have never been studied. Okay. And I hope some of the students will be, and colleagues would engage in these, study these texts. My last point that I want to make is Ajami as a war effort. And this is also to highlight the fact that all these people who have been treated illiterate, in fact, have always been engaged in world dialogues. This text was discovered in Casamance, and it was written during World War II by a religious leader whose community was affected by the war. It was Seju was a place where the French drafted soldiers, and some of them came back home wounded. And the only way that the local healer, the local leader, could contribute to this war effort is to curse, because they believe in the potency of their words. Words can be used both to heal, to fix, to bless, but they can also be used to destroy. So his war effort was to curse Adolf Hitler. And this is what the curse says. Now, one of the major problems with Ajami text that has been a source of problem for scholars is that when Muslims write, in general, the first line is a doxology, is a formula in Arabic. It will be Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, right? The rest will be Mandinka, or Hausa, or Wolof, or any other African language. So many scholars have assumed that the rest is gibberish or unreadable Arabic, as some have phrased it, because simply they can read the first one, but they can't read the second one. That's one of the problems. And it's at Boston University where we're training the first generation of students who can decipher Wolof and Hausa Ajami texts. And we need to expand that in the years to come. Now, they call him Ikiler. And this is a poem, Ikiler the German has brought evil to the world. May God take away all his evil. If he is assisted by powerful demons, may those demons be destroyed. If he is helped by his political skills, may those skills be lost for good. May God bring evil on him so that he may fear himself and his deeds. May God throw thunder on him to destroy his skull and flesh. May he be betrayed by his own doctor. May he make him drink poison until he is unconscious. May the great angels destroy his planes and make them catch fire in the air and fall. And now it's becoming localized. It's becoming really, you know, hitting home. No young man is here now. You caused our people and our guests to run away. The first to run away was Arfan Djemme, Kamara, Maroon, and many others. As for Damfa, he is worried, for his wife is pregnant and his children can't walk Ikler. This is really touching home, you know. As for Kan Djemme, he wept so hard until I felt sad for him. Evil is not good, Ikler. Eclair, may God destroy you inside your protected building. So here is the bunker. Eclair, may you have the sickness of swelling belly and swelling genital. May you feel the agony and cry and die. Amen, amen. May God fulfill our prayers. May the human race be saved from Eclair's evil. You see, the guy's concern is not only his community. He is engaged in the world issues. And he closes again with an Islamic doxology in the name of the prophet and Sheikh Sadibu, whose curse is most feared. In conclusion, the bulk of Ajami materials discussed in this talk remain largely unstudied. To Western-trained academics across the humanities and social sciences, the insights in Ajami materials force revisions of various aspects of our understanding of pre-colonial, colonial, and post-colonial Africa. I might note that Ajami documents have been found in the Americas, including in the United States, but many of them have been labeled undecipherable Arabic, when in reality it's Hausa or Wolof or Mandinka. We have begun to develop a collection on those materials, and I hope to have a PhD student who will take on those materials. They refute the prevailing myth of the holistic illiteracy of Africa, partly perpetuated by the overemphasis on oral tradition of Africa. Ajami digital scholarship enables us to bring new resources essential to research and teaching on people of African descent, their histories and belief systems, and enable us to see the world and hear unfiltered voices of ordinary and learned Africans never heard before. Thank you very much for your attention.